Buddy, welcome back to Untamed. You know who it is. This is your boy, Bubba.
How's Dodie?
Hey, welcome back to another episode. We got a special guest, my boy, Greg. He was here a couple way back in the beginning of our episodes. Now we're on YouTube, getting a little bit bigger platform. So, you know, might as well bring him on again. Let's get this thing going.
Happy New Year, guys. Thanks for having me back on. I'm excited to be on.
Yep, Happy New Year to you, too. Let's go. You know how we always do it. Let's get right into it, all right? Talk about some college basketball. Season already tipping off, some big teams losing, some big teams, some teams showing out. First team I want to talk about is Texas. They're definitely top four now after they brutally beat KU, which I was not very happy about. What's that face?
It's like I told you, man, what triggers off on the football field, they eventually trickle into that gym.
No. Come on now, Dodie.
Yeah. You're just lucky that they're not having that home field advantage. If Allen Fieldhouse is rocking, they don't lose by 30-something or whatever they lost by.
That shows a lot. That tells a lot right there. Yeah. Without the fans, KU is human.
Yeah. No, this is not a good KU team. I mean, I wouldn't say it's not a good KU team. It's not a typical KU team. Like, they're really missing having a true point guard and a true big man. And
yes,
I think Self said it in an interview yesterday. He said that there was not one person to kind of like huddle him up and rally the troops, which he kind of always had a guard to do that. Had that, you know, Devontae Graham or Frank Mason or something over the last like 5-6 years to kind of say, hey, let's go. Let's stop the bleeding.
Devin Dodson.
That, yeah, without who, that.
Who recruited him?
Hey.
Who recruited that class?
Yeah. No, I think they got a lot of good players. They just don't have they're missing a point guard.
They're really young. They're all freshmen and sophomores, and there's like a few selected juniors and seniors.
This is KU talking about, right?
Yeah.
Talking about KU not having a point guard.
Yeah, well, Charlie Moore transferred. I think that's who, you know, they were kind of going after. But I tell you one thing, we might not have a point guard, but at least we're not North Carolina or Kentucky or Duke. Like, we still a top 10 team. We'll be all right come March.
So y'all, so what y'all really saying is Bill Self is not a good coach.
Oh, I'm not saying that at all.
Bill Self is one of the greatest college basketball coaches.
Yeah, how you figure that?
Only got one piece. This is basketball we're talking about.
They don't have one piece.
Find a point guard, and so since he can't find a point guard, he's at Kansas. You find a way to win.
They are. They only lost two games.
But that's what I'm saying.
It's still early in the season. It's still early in the season, though. It's still early in the season. We still got a long way to go.
But I'm gonna get y'all a little.
KU got, you know, they'll lose maybe two more games. They'll beat Texas. It's the same thing that happened last year when they played Baylor, and Baylor beat up on them real bad.
Oh yeah, I remember that episode. Yeah, I called it. I called it.
They'll come back, Dodie. They'll come back. They'll get together, and they'll show Texas the real KU. Because KU gonna win the Big 12 again. Dodie, there's no argument there. There isn't. We all know KU gonna bounce back. It happens every year.
Like all the good coaches say, you a coach, you know how it is. Bill Self is playing for March. He's trying to get them ready for March. He'll let them take their lumps at the beginning of the year. Let them realize they're not as good as they think they are, and that way he can coach them up. You know how it is. You know that first game, that early in the year, you guys, you know, you let the boys get whipped up so that way you could be like, I got a lot of stuff to coach for the rest of the year, and y'all need to listen to me.
You know what? You know what? You're right, and I'm going to renege. I'm not going to let y'all have that argument. It's KU. High standards. They've been talking about for years. They've been beating up on folks for years. Guess what? I'm not going to loosen up on them.
Okay, so what happened? What happened last year when Baylor whooped up on KU, and then they played him at the end of the year, and then what happened in the Big 12?
The barbecue.
That's what I'm saying.
No. KU came to play, beat them.
They won the Big 12.
KU came to play. Simple as that.
What we eat that day, we win that game. Go to Subway instead of eating barbecue. That's simple. Get a Subway bowl.
You know what that is? That's a sorry excuse. That's all I'm hearing right now.
Hey, but Texas did their thing though. I mean, there's no knock on. I mean, I'm a KU fan through and through, but I'm not gonna ever like take away from reality. You know, like KU, I mean, Texas came to play. They played tough, they got in them, and they exploited that weakness of KU not having a true like floor general. I do think that by the end of the year though, Bill Self will find that guy that he can count on to be like, all right, you my guy in crunch time. And I think that, I mean, I think that's the thing about Bill Self.
They ain't got anybody around campus right now.
Hey, I think the biggest thing is going to be, you know, like, I think one of the biggest things is that home, not having that home field advantage, like, you know, being in Allen Fieldhouse when that place is rocking, even when they start losing it, they score 6 points in a row, the place starts rocking and you start to see the other team start to press up and get tight. I think everybody's in with, but I'm saying right now, KU might be, what, KU's 9-2. What, Kentucky's not even ranked. North Carolina's not even ranked. What's Duke ranked? Like, they like 26, something like that. You know, it's like,
not
I mean,
on the list.
12. They're not in the Big 12. I'm talking about Big 12 basketball. Texas, talking Baylor. You know what I'm saying?
Baylor's legit. They're
Baylor's
not in,
gonna be good again. They're legit. Baylor still got Scott Drew as their coach, so I'm not too worried.
And you're gonna have to see West Virginia, and you're gonna have to see Texas Tech, who Texas Tech is always, you know what I'm saying?
We already beat West Virginia, already beat Texas Tech.
But just like worried. You just said a while ago, like you just said a while
I
ago.
I know what I'm saying. I'm not, I mean.
Texas could come back and beat
Big 12. Texas. Big 12 is the best basketball conference by far in the NCAA. They produce top 25 teams every year. So, yeah, it matters right now. But it definitely matters when it's time for the big dance in March.
Yeah.
So,
I think right now Kansas is living off their hype. I don't really think I don't think they're gonna do a lot of things for sure. They might change it up. Like you said, Bill Self might show that, you know, he know what he's doing.
Well, I was saying earlier though, they are a young team. They don't have really that veteran leadership like they've had the past 2-3 years. Everybody's gone now. So I mean it's like another rebuild year when Frank Mason was a freshman and they all, you know, stayed together till they were seniors. So I mean it's gonna be another couple years till they're, you know, they're real strong and they're real dominant like they usually are.
I saw a lot from from Gonzaga though. I think Gonzaga is going to be the team to beat this year. I'm not going to lie. I think Gonzaga too. They got that guard they got was Jalen Suggs. He's the truth. He's going to be a lottery pick. I think the big dude that they got inside is good. I mean they're good. I think Gonzaga is probably the team. I mean they're ranked number one, but I think they're going to be the team to beat. Like and KU might. I mean I feel like Self always pulls a rabbit out of his hat. He always ends up doing something. And they always go, I will say the last like 5-6 years, they always end up going further than what I thought they were going to at the beginning of the year. The beginning of the year, I'm like, I don't know about this. And then, I mean, last year without COVID, I mean, that's a Final Four team. They were locked in, ready to roll. They were number
solid,
one in the country.
Solid, but, like, great team. That team was definitely going to the championship.
They
definitely
had a point guard. They had a center, and they had 4 or 5 wings that could score and defend.
That team, oh man, that team would have won a ring.
Nobody got it done.
Nobody didn't get done. It was COVID.
Yeah,
they said no.
I don't give Kansas no excuses. They still should have won it.
They should have started their own league
and started their own league.
They ended the season as the number one team on the AP poll.
Do you know what Central Florida did 1 year?
What did they do?
They created their own national championship.
Yeah, but nobody.
You're talking about UCF when they went 13-0.
If Kansas were that good, they should have did what?
Man, they went to Kinko's. They went to Kinko's and printed off a banner.
Yeah,
went to Kinko's and printed off a banner.
They went to that local trophy system guy. They said, "Yeah, just make us a little title look like the same." No,
a little bit Naismith title.
Hey, I'll ask this though: how many banners are up at in Texas or Baylor for their basketball programs?
We building new gyms.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
They got that oil money. They got that oil money. Well, we can't hang banners. We just build a new gym.
Man.
We haven't put them up yet. Huh?
So who you think's the top team in all of college basketball?
Well, honestly, on a serious note, I really think Gonzaga is balling right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just an individual one-on-one play, but how they can move the ball. And it's like the ball is always going to the open man on a cut, and it's like they're not doing a lot with the basketball.
Yeah.
On the defensive end, they know how to lock down and they can rebound very, very good.
Yeah.
That's what's surprising about me, because for me, Gonzaga don't really get the top of the top prospects in the nation every year.
Yeah.
But for what that coach get out of them,
Yeah.
I got one of the best coaches in the nation. But you know, I'm a Texas guy, so I'm always gonna push Baylor, Texas.
Hey, as long as Baylor's got Scott Drew, I'm doing this. They always got the talent. They always have the talent. Like they always, Scott Drew is one of the best recruiters like ever. I mean, he gets dudes to come there and play, but he just like, I feel like he outcoaches himself when he gets in them big moments. But I mean, they definitely have a squad just like they had last year. They're going to make some noise. And I actually think that the NCAA was smart by saying that they're going to do a bubble, put everybody in Indianapolis and just like, you know, it's going to be a boring, you know, month. You know, for the players, but they're going to get to finish this thing out. Yeah. I mean, after seeing what the NBA did. So, I mean, I think it'd be interesting. I feel like you can never count out Izzo, Michigan State. He's such a good coach. He's another one like Mark Few that no matter what team, what five people he has on the court, he's going to get the most out of them. And I think that sometimes those coaches that have those guys that aren't one and done guys, they know that they can get them for 3-4 years and develop them versus like you look at Kentucky where they're going to have five NBA players, but none of them are really focused on like getting better for Kentucky. They focus on getting better for the league where you got these guys at Gonzaga. That's like, you know, they're 3-year, 4-year guys. Same with K. I mean, I feel like KU's best teams are the teams when they got 3-year, 4-year guys with like one or two freshmen kind of sprinkled in.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Let's move on a little bit down the list. Hold on.
Before we leave, it's one ace in the hole I want to throw out there too. Another name of a school because this kid keeps jumping out at me when I watch the games and when I watch ESPN highlights. He's always jumping out, and that's Luca Garza from Iowa.
Yeah.
That guy is, man, he's scary because he can do a lot.
Yeah. The only thing about him though is that today's basketball is not a big man game, though. You got to have shooters around him. And I think that once you get into that crunch time where teams can scout you and like really like go like, okay, how can we? He's going to get his, but if nobody else gets theirs, then we're good. And I don't know if anybody else on that team can like, I don't know if they have another player that can get you 20 points. And then in the tournament, they're going to shut down him where he's only going to get you about 20 points. And then somebody else is going to have to step up. But he's a hooper though. I don't know. Do you think he'll make it in the league though?
Oh yes. I really do because he got big man play. Who he reminds me of coming out is that guy coming out of Wake Forest to play for the Spurs.
Oh, you bringing up Tim Duncan? Yes. You throwing out the Tim Duncan comparison?
Because the reason why I'm saying that is because like you said, it's a big man game, and when Tim Duncan came in the league, it was slowly all the big man was slowly leaving. And it was pretty much just him and Shaq, you know. Yeah. And how he could just, he was so versatile. And that's what I see with what you said with him not having no shooters around him. But it's not a big man game no more. So how many guys is he going to see that's going to actually be able to hold him one-on-one down there? You give anybody an open shot, there's a chance of it going in.
Right.
And I see a lot of teams having to double down on them like they do now. And, I was making other guys pay when you double down on him. Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I think that's going to be interesting because, coming out of the Big Ten, you're always going to get a region.
Yeah.
You're going to be the top seed in the region.
Right. For sure.
So let's move a little bit down the list on the AP poll. I want to talk about Mizzou since everybody was talking about them the other day, saying they got the razzle dazzle going back again. They're 13 right now.
Not no more.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I don't know. Do you think there'll be a contender coming in the March, or do you think it's all just, it's early as it is?
No.
Hey, I heard something. I heard a joke a few years ago that the clocks in Mizzou only go to 56 minutes because they never seen the Final Four. I was like, dang, that's jacked up. I agree. But yeah, no, I think that they feast on like they get hyped and then they can't maintain it. I think that's the thing that you do have to give the credit to teams like KU that even though they might lose a game here and there, they're a top 10 team. Like, they don't get too high, too low. They are going to play their game no matter what. I feel like Mizzou plays hyped up. Like, they get hyped up for these big games. And then when it's, like, a small team, they kind of fizzle out a little bit. Like, I think they'll be a 4 or 5 seed
Yeah, just like, yeah. Like, what was it like? Oh, it had to be 8-9 years ago when they were real good. They were like top four. Mm-hmm. I think it was Thomas Robinson last year at KU. Yeah, that's when they were like really good. Yeah, and then they went. I think they got a one seed in one of the, one region of the brackets, and they played. I remember this team, Norfolk State.
Yep.
They were a 15 seed, and Mizzou was a number two.
Yep.
And that's where I knew, like, yeah, they're not legit. Like,
that's Phil. That was that Phil Pressey league team, and that team was Pressey was a hooper.
Oh, but
They just. I think they got too. The lights got a little bit too big for them.
Yeah, they got too big headed.
Yeah.
Mizzou got to see Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, California out there in Kentucky, man, he's a slick cat. You know, he the kind of cat that, like you said about Bill Self, I see that more with him. I'll take a loss.
Yeah.
Give me the tournament.
Yeah. You know,
we can lose every game during the regular season. Just get us to the tournament.
Yeah, because he got the talent. I mean, everything with Calipari, he's playing with 2-3 lottery picks every year. So they got the talent. It's just if they – and it takes them a while to get them to mesh, you know, You know, that's why I don't really take much stock in Kentucky. I mean, I feel like this year they're a little down just because they don't really have any shooting. They got a lot of big guys, but they don't have any shooting. But, I mean, Calipari's going to figure out a way to, like, get the most out of that team when it matters. And then, I mean, Texas A&M is pretty good. You know, they always kind of play tough. Auburn is always playing, you know, like, they're going to be tough. They might not be, like, that good, but they're going to play teams tough.
Yeah.
Arkansas too, somebody in Missouri. Yeah. You know, in the border wars.
Yeah, I mean, Missouri got them the first time, but they're going to play them again.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next topic, some NFL. Talk about the playoffs.
Oh, my bad.
Man, nobody.
I just.
You know, you can have your first round bye.
Trying to do the Ray J challenge.
But let's talk about a little bit about Washington and, you know, the whole Eagles tank thing. We kind of talked about in the last episode, but let's hear your 2 cents. What you think really happened?
Okay, so I think about it like this. If I'm Doug Peterson, I think they definitely tanked. They definitely lost that game on purpose, but I don't think they did it to spite the Giants as much. I think that was just like a nice benefit for it. But I think they were like, hey, we can grab 3 draft picks if we lose this game, or like jump 3 spots if we lose this game. I mean, they went from being like the 9th pick to the 6th pick, like with that loss. And when your team's not going, I mean, like, they weren't going to go to the playoffs. They weren't, like, it's like, well, why not, you know, jump up, see if we can get as high as we can to see, you know, what we can do. So I think, honestly, it was a long game. It's a risky play because, you know, as a coach, you risk losing the locker room doing that. And I don't even know if it was really his call. From what I heard that call came from upstairs that put in the other quarterback. It's a horrible look, but yeah. I mean, I think that, I mean, I just thought it was funny because I don't think that anybody deserved to make the playoffs from that. But I think out of all the teams, I really did like Washington because, I mean, I'm a Chiefs guy. So Alex Smith, I mean, I have a lot of respect for him. That whole story, it don't matter if you like Alex Smith or not. That story for him coming back and doing what he did was incredible. I mean, and they need to rename the Comeback Player of the Year award to the Alex Smith trophy because, I mean, that's the embodiment of comeback, like of coming back, especially when he didn't have to. And Ron Rivera going, I mean, the fact that they had a coach that was battling cancer the whole year, they had, literally they dealt with Dwayne Haskins, who is a head case. And then they had a quarterback who, you know, basically almost lost his life, almost lost his leg comeback. I mean, you got to give props for a team making it to the playoffs that went through. I mean, you talk about adversity. That's, I mean, for real. And you know what? I mean, I know we're going to talk about something later, but Chase Young, that dude is a monster. Crazy. A monster.
Cut him. He cut off with his hands too high. As soon as he come off, cut him. Start getting hands down. He ain't coming off that bottom. You know me, Bubba. You keep coming off that end hard. Keep coming off that end hard like that. We're going to give you something to think about. You ain't even thinking about my quarterback.
But you know people been trying to do that, though. I think he's too fast.
Yeah, just put your shoulder pad on his rib cage, and he's going to feel it all game.
Yeah.
Hey, we're not going to get too deep into this, but if you keep using that J technique, trying to block him, you go missing.
Yeah,
you better come down the line and kick him out. The angle taken, but we ain't gonna get into that because this ain't the culture session. But
But he's a beast, though. You gotta admit, though, he's a beast. Though. He's a game wrecker.
He's a beast. But I think it's some things people not doing because they're trying to. Nowadays, you don't see as many backs blocking in the backfield because they'd rather put them out in space and, you know, you rush me fast, get the ball in somebody's hands, you know what I'm saying, it's quick. But sometimes you got to sit there back in there and tell him, this is how we're going to block him. We're going to intimidate the rush.
Right.
I don't see a lot of backs doing that no more, you know.
But even that, though, he's enough of a beast to where he's making you question, do you change your game plan to just stop him? Which is that's a game changer, though. I mean, it's like Aaron Donald. Like, you have to make a decision. I'm going to have to double you. And like either you going to wreck the game or I'm going to have to completely change how I want to play my game to make sure that you don't wreck the game. And I think Chase Young he's got that in him where he's going to make that defensive or that offensive coach make a decision of, do I bring in this running back that's willing to like take it on the nose and do that? But I'm going to forego him being an option in the offense. Like, I mean, that's.
Hey, everybody drive different after a car wreck. So we're going to give him a couple of car wrecks.
Yeah.
Want to come up that ball that hard.
Yeah, but he come hard. He comes hard. But all that to say, I think Washington, out of all the teams, that was probably the team that I was rooting for. I don't really have much interest in like NFC East. I don't really have a team that I'm like, oh, I like this team or I don't like that team. My team that I root for in the NFC is the Packers. I've been a Brett Favre fan my whole life. And so, like, Packers was always my team. So I'm happy the Packers are doing. I hope it's the Packers and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And, that's what I want. I don't even care if Rodgers gets the MVP. Give it to Rodgers. Give it to him. I don't care. He deserves it. But so out of all four of the teams, I felt like Washington really overcame a lot to get to that position to even earn it. But nobody really deserved it.
Hold on. We're not gonna go down that road. Because you're right. I agree. That's what I said the last episode. Washington going is good for the NFL. It'll probably make a Disney movie. Something like that. it is a good heartwarming.
It's gonna be a little Netflix documentary.
Yeah, you sit at home with your hot chocolate and everything, watch the movie, cry, you know what I'm saying, get emotional and all that other stuff. But in reality, they're not gonna make the NFL no money. It's one thing that's gonna make the NFL money, and that's that 5-point star.
And nobody cares about the Cowgirls.
Man,
the Giants.
Hey, the Cowboys haven't been relevant since like 1997.
Hey, watch in the playoffs how much Dallas' name come up in the playoffs.
They ain't. It's not.
Because Tony Romo calling the game.
No, man. I'm talking about us. ESPN and Fox. Every episode, who are they talking about?
Definitely not the Cowboys.
Because we the biggest story it is.
No.
The biggest story, if it wasn't for Skip on Undisputed, the biggest story is always Tom Brady. You know, you're looking at Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and now, I mean, the last few years, the Chiefs. And nobody's talking about the Cowboys outside of Dallas.
Got the number one reality show in the world.
The last time y'all were in the headlines was when y'all fired Jason Garrett. Other than that, y'all were real out.
Hey, man, y'all went from a clapper to just a dude that's just sitting like this the whole time. I'm telling you, as a Packers fan, I thought the Mike McCarthy hire was horrible. Horrible. That dude can't inspire anybody.
Jerry Jones must have cupcaked him real good then, because he's on the spot now.
I didn't like it either, but you don't go against Uncle Jerry.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, that Jerry needs to sit aside and let somebody else do some of that personnel stuff. But I do think they need to pay Dak, though. I hope they pay Dak. I hope Dak comes back next year and has a year like how Alex Smith did, where you like, okay, this dude. And nobody's talking about the Cowboys outside of he's clearly the best option you guys have at quarterback.
Clearly. Definitely not Andy Dalton. Definitely not Ben DiNucci or
that DiNucci
Garrett Colbert or whoever you Cooper.
I don't even know if that DiNucci dude could have played on Saturday.
So you telling me, okay, with the way our defense played this year,
injuries,
that would have put us in a better situation.
Absolutely.
If your defense was fully healthy, I think
y'all were scoring like 20. There were some games. There was like 3 or 4 games y'all scoring like 20 points. Y'all would have at least scored like 30 with that.
We scored, I think, I want to say 2 games. 2-3 games, we scored over 34 points, 35 points with the Red Rifle, and we still lost.
So you really think that moving forward next year, you think Andy Dalton gives you a better chance next year than Dak?
With a broken leg like he had, did you see what his foot was doing?
Did you see what Alex Smith?
Come back.
Hey.
I gotta see him come back. But Alex Smith was already somewhat of an athlete. That is the way I'm being dead serious. The way that feet is, sometimes I be wondering, like, you know, did he just have a good arm or is he really an athlete? Because I ain't never seen him make no move. You know, break somebody down and make a real athletic move. It's kind of like, oh, that person just missed me because they closed their eyes or something, you know.
Nah,
I don't know.
You're probably the first Cowboys fan I've heard say that. Most Cowboys fans be like, yeah, pay him.
No. Hey, I'll go ahead and send you Marcus Mariota.
but I'm a real Cowboys fan. Like I'm horribly critical.
Yeah.
Like, even Zeke. I'll trade Zeke in a second. All because of them nose rings. We got angry. the traditional running backs we done had in Cowboys uniforms over the years, and here he come in with all these nose rings in his nose, looking out of shape.
I know, man. He had the real belly with the belly shirt this year.
It's like, come on, dude. You need to go to Kansas City or Cincinnati or Oakland. They do that in Oakland.
Yeah,
we ain't in Oakland, so get that first number one.
I feel like the Raiders would definitely take Zeke.
We probably would.
Y'all take Zeke at like 33. Like, y'all wait like 3 more years and then take him. We got our back. We got our back.
We got our back. Josh Jacobs is the future. Hey, we'll take Zeke. We'll make him.
Tell that dude to get a car service.
Yeah,
tell him to get a driver.
That is true. Yeah.
The Raiders ain't no more?
No, he got a DUI coming back from Denver. Man. He wrecked at the airport, and he got a big old gash right here. He got stitches right here on his forehead.
How you get a DUI in 2021, though, and you a multimillionaire?
Hey, it happens, man.
I mean, just pay somebody $1,000. Like, man, pick me up right now.
Everybody makes mistakes.
But some mistakes are dumb.
Hold on. We can't be talking about my team. Your team has some dudes kicking chicks and beating their kids. So,
and they, guess what? They ain't on my team no more.
Tyreek Hill's still on your team. He beat his kid, broke his arm.
Hey, you know what? That's just different cultures, man.
Kareem Hunt.
Some cultures we beat our kids.
Kicking chicks and stuff. Come on now.
Hey, Kareem was gone too, though. Kareem was gone.
Hey, he balling with the Browns, man. Can't hang on right now.
But you know what? I'll take what we have over Kareem. What he did to that girl, I don't care. Like, see ya. See ya. I'll take CEH and I'll take Le'Veon. And
what about Tyreek? He's still on your team.
Tyreek paid his dude. Paid his dude. That happened in college.
No, that was recently. That was
The girlfriend said she tried to set him up. Like,
really?
Yes.
I never heard that news.
Yes. So I know you ain't in that case.
This
is new
to me. That is new to me. So I'm sorry.
Nah, Tyreek literally, because they were about to, that's why they drafted Mecole Hardman, because they were about to cut him. And then literally, like, the prosecutors and like the investigator stuff was like, he did nothing wrong in the situation. It was all kind of like, because her story wasn't adding up. She was saying one thing, and then the next time they asked her the same question, she was saying something different. Tyreek's story never changed, and he was like, yeah, like, I whooped him, but then, like, that, you know, like, it wasn't like a,
yeah,
I mean, it wasn't like the Adrian Peterson thing, you know. It was like there was a lot of stuff, and they ended up saying that, like, the mom was kind of trying to get some stuff from Tyreek.
Yeah.
See, if they were playing for the Cowboys, Jerry would have swept all that up under the rug and had all that hush. All them stories.
I know.
Hey, everything is just fine in Jerry's world, huh?
Hey, because we know Michael Irvin probably killed a couple people. The way he be all, yeah, the Cowboys.
Yeah.
He be coming on national TV all coked up like, man, calm down, hey, Mike. Why you sweating?
He probably buried a few people at that old stadium you got.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we know that's –
That's Cowboys business. You know, we don't talk about family business outside of the family.
Yeah. All right. Hey,
but let's get back on topic. Some playoff
talk. All right. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry.
Let's get back on topic. I want to talk about the sleeper game. Let's go. We'll start with the NFC. Let's talk about the Buccaneers and, you know, the Washington football team, since they don't have, you know, mascot yet. So do you think, you know, Washington is the Cinderella story going in these playoffs? Do y'all think they can pull an upset, or you think, you know, I hate to say his name, Tom Brady is going, you know, stomp him out and, you know, move on to the next round.
I think it's going to be a good game. I mean, honestly, especially if Mike Evans isn't there, I think it's going to be if the kryptonite to Tom Brady is hitting him.
Yeah.
That everybody knows that's how the Giants won those two Super Bowls. That's how the Chiefs, you know, the last couple of times they played him when he was playing with the Patriots, hit him. The Saints, they just hit him. And I think that the one thing that the defense of Washington that they do well is they get to the quarterback. And Bruce Arians still hasn't really changed up his play calling to where he still does those long developing plays. And they put Tom in those situations. I think if they get, you know, three or more sacks, I think that the football team could win the game. I really do because they run the ball well enough yeah. to where they could really like keep the ball away from Brady to where it's like, you know, you might in the second half only get like three possessions the way that they run the ball. If they can like run the ball, yeah. get it to McKissick out of the backfield. What's his name? McLaurin is a really good. I mean, he's a really good wide receiver, kind of underrated. They have a decent tight end. I mean, I think their offense.
Yeah, Logan Thomas. Yeah, he's been getting a lot of catches too.
Yeah, I mean I think the defense, if they could get some pressure on Tom Brady and make it a long day, they have enough on offense to where they can make it a game. I wouldn't put money on them winning, but I think I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled it out.
Yeah, I definitely say it's a 50-50 game.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. What you think, Dodie? You think it's gonna be a blowout?
No, I think Tom and them gonna win it. I just think the D line, you know, the D line is a good D line. I think they one of the best four in the league. Yeah. But I'm scared. The linebacker core is shaking to me.
Yeah.
And the secondary. I really think Philly won the tank the other night. Philly could have put a lot of points upon him because Jalen Hurts.
Oh yeah, Jalen was going. He had two rushing touchdowns. He didn't really have that many, you know, in the air. But
you're not worried about Tom Brady like you're worried about Jalen Hurts, though.
That's true. Also.
The linebackers aren't worrying about Tom Brady running. So the thing that made them. No, I know, but I'm saying like because Jalen Hurts also only had like 60 yards passing, so he had to run. They could do nothing in the passing game.
He was like 7 for 20.
Yeah,
but he don't have a good receiving core. But if you start any other quarterback would have went on and made some of these throws. A quarterback like Tom Brady would have made some of these backside throws to where Jalen Hurts is still questioning if he can really just make that throw, zip it in there.
But you got to also think, though, too, that Jalen Hurts was able to use his athleticism to get out of that pressure and Tom Brady doesn't have that going for him.
Tom Brady got better O-line.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It depends on if that D-line gets going, though. I think it's going to be a long game for TB12.
Yeah,
but he's the GOAT for a reason, though. I mean, he really is. Like, I mean, he's handled every situation that gets thrown at him. He's got a good core around him. He's still got Gronk, who's like, you know, Gronk is still playing well. I mean, he's not playing at like, you know, elite status, but he's still, you know, playing. I mean, he's a very serviceable tight end. He's got Godwin and Antonio Brown. So, I mean, it just depends on if they can really get to him. If they can get to him and get him off of his marks to where he has to kind of rush stuff, then I think it's going to be a good. If they don't get to him, he's going to score 40. They'll score 35 to 42 on him. But that's been them all year, though. The teams that have gotten to Brady, like, it's been like, I mean, you think about the both times they played the Saints, you know, even the Chiefs, when the Chiefs are really pouring it on them at the beginning of the game, they couldn't do anything. And then, you know, like, it's because they got that pressure and he couldn't get going.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Washington got that.
Yeah,
I think they can do it up front, but I think with seeing Gronk in there blocking sometimes free releasing, and having Leonard Fournette in the backfield helping blocking too, you know, how you get 5+2, I think we can get them blocked.
Yeah, it'll be good. I think it'll be a good game.
Chase Young will get a sack. I'm sure he'll get his one on time, but I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, he called him out. He said he wanted him. The last thing you want to do is piss off Tom Brady. So we'll see what happens. Tom might. Might light them up. I don't know. I think it's a legit toss up game. It could go one way or the other. Like, you know.
Yeah. Never know.
Yep.
Let's move on to the. Oh, go ahead.
No, I just said Buccaneers.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's move on to the AFC side of the wild card. I want to talk about. I think maybe the two of the best teams in the wild card, on the AFC side, the Colts and the Bills. Cole's played real well down the stretch. Bill's been excellent all year long, consistently. So what do you guys think? think the Bills are – clearly the Bills are the better team, but the Colts have had their success. So what do you guys think?
I think the Colts might be the best defense that the Bills have played all year. So it would be interesting to see, like, how Josh Allen, you know – I mean, but Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs got something going right now. So sometimes when you get in a groove, you can't – like, there's nothing that a defense can do. If you got a quarterback and a wide receiver like that in a groove, so I'm not too worried about the running game. It's going to be about, you know, can those backs and those linebackers, you know, cover. And they I think the Colts have one of the top defenses in the league.
Yeah, I agree on that.
Where they playing this game at?
I believe it's in Buffalo.
Yes, it is in Buffalo. You know where Colts is right now in Buffalo?
Yeah, it's always tough to play in Buffalo, especially in the
winter. And what is Philip Rivers always done when he played in cold weather?
Choked big time.
Or just always done in the playoffs.
That's true. I mean, I feel like this is a different Rivers, and not Rivers on the Chargers. The way he's played this year, it don't look like the same him. It has been his whole career. Sometimes, you know, it happens. New team, maybe good one year, maybe good not. I mean, look at Tom. I mean, he's still having the same success like he has when he was with the playoffs. I mean, with the Patriots. So, I mean, I don't know. I think they'll do damage. I mean, the Colts got some good wide receivers. They definitely got a nice 1-2 punch with Nyheim Hines and Jonathan Taylor, especially on the run game and receiving game. So, I mean, you never know. Definitely the Bills are going to have their hands full in the run game with the Colts, I think.
See, I think that if they can keep it a close game into the second half, I think the Colts – I think the Bills have to blow these dudes out in the first half. Because if they allow it to get close in the second half where you don't have to rely on Phillip Rivers, then I think that's when that's how the Colts win that game, because they want to get the ball to Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines and stuff like that. They don't want it to be a shootout. So if the defense does their job and they make it a, you know, if it's going into the second half and it's like 17-14 or something like that, I think the Colts have an advantage in the second half because they want to run the ball. Whereas you talk about the cold weather, the Bills want to pass the ball. That's how they want to win the game. And I think that the Colts are built to like run the ball and play in those cold weather games, because they're not really relying on Phillip Rivers throwing the ball 30, 40 times. Whereas the Bills, Josh Allen's throwing the ball 35 times. Like, I mean, at least.
Where did Josh Allen go to college?
Went to Wyoming. He went to Wyoming.
Yeah, it was Wyoming, right?
Oh, well, he used to throw in
yeah, I'm not saying him. I'm just saying the style of play, though. I'm just saying like, you know, I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just saying it's going to be like their best bet is to blow that team out to where they make it to where Phillip Rivers has to pass the ball, because then it's over.
I can see your point, but I don't even think you have to really get up on it, because if, you know, with the short dinky passes that they, you know, saying catch short, take for long, that's just an extension of the run game, like a toss or something like that nowadays.
Yeah.
So I can see them still moving the ball.
Yeah.
You know, like that. I just don't think Phillip Rivers is capable of keeping him in the game, but for these reasons. His throwing motion, it's like he's shot and putting the ball. With the wind the way it's blowing in Buffalo and that stadium right there, that wind swirls a lot. That ball going to do funny things just because he's not driving the ball through. It's kind of like he's shot and putting it out.
Yeah.
It's no driving through, driving through that cold weather, driving through that wind.
Yeah.
I don't see that. And I think that's what's going to hinder him. Because they're going to rely on the run game, and Buffalo's going to make it, like you said, let's stack the box. But I don't think it's going to be like, let's get up on them real quick. It's going to be like, hey, let's just do our thing, and eventually they're going to break.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Bills are going to win, though. I mean, I think they're in a groove right now. They kind of reminded me of like the Chiefs a couple years ago, where it was like they just kind of got in a groove, and you know, I think they're not destined to make it to the AFC Championship game, but I think they definitely have they definitely are gonna do some damage in the playoffs.
Yeah.
All right. So, just a real quick question. You know, say your answer or what you think. Start with the NFC. So Packers are the one seed. So who do you think can beat them? Like, who do you think is the closest to? Do you think they can, if they meet in the NFC Championship? Who do you think can beat them?
Saints.
Dodie?
I really want to say the Saints. I really do. Because they are so, so good. But it's so many times when I thought they was loaded and they struggled. The team that's really, really, I honestly think if they get hot, they might can either one of these teams can could probably roll through the playoffs. And that's the NFC wild card game. The Rams versus the Seahawks. Either one of those teams, I think if they hit their hot streak, both of them got enough defense savvy. And with the Rams, you know, Donald, that's just he gonna want to get after I always want to get after quarterback. So
But the Rams ain't got a quarterback though. Jared Goff's not playing. He's still hurt. That XFL guy. I mean, he did his thing, but I mean, like, I really don't see them as a contender. I think Seattle's gonna beat them up. I think Seattle can do it. Seattle always gets hot in the playoffs, so I see them as the real
competitor. But Jamal Adams got hurt. Is Jamal is he back? Because I know they said he hurt his shoulder last game.
Honestly, I don't know.
If he doesn't play, that team is that defense is completely different. Yeah. But if he's playing, he's definitely. He's a game changer. I mean, he's a game changer. You have to account for him. Yeah. I could definitely see the Seahawks too. I mean, I definitely think that it's going to run through. Like Green Bay's not to me. I haven't felt all year long that they were like this, just set team.
Exactly.
They have some serious flaws that Aaron Rodgers has been able to really kind of account for. But I mean, they really, if you shut down, a hard thing to do, easier said than done. But if you find a way to shut down Davante Adams, they don't have anybody else. Like, for some reason, I don't know why teams are not chipping him at the line and doubling him or something like that. Like, you know, making Rodgers throw to somebody else, because I would much rather have, you know, Scanlon or somebody else get 10 catches and Davante Adams get two or three catches. I don't know why teams aren't. And maybe that's just because it's easier said than done. I mean, Davante Adams is one of the top wide receivers in the game, but I mean, you have to figure out, I think, a way to get Davante Adams out the game, and then I think the Packers are real vulnerable because.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. That was my point.
But that's the very reason why I think the Rams and the Seahawks got the secondary to man him up.
Yeah.
And then pressure on the backside. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Instead of just being able to always play zone because you're afraid of his speed or you're afraid of his route running. I think the Rams have a secondary and a D line that can actually, hey man, let's just try to man them up a couple of times.
Yeah.
You
can definitely put Ramsey on them and they go and battle all day. I don't think the Seahawks have that same DB that could just line up with them. I think Ramsey could definitely just line up with them and be like, let's just go. Let's go at it. I mean, they probably start fighting halfway through, halfway through the game.
But the Seahawks, the one thing that I like about the Seahawks is they know how to hit and tackle.
Mm-hmm.
They always got solid hits. They always make, and that's what's scary when it's cold.
Yeah,
you know.
And Russ knows how to win games too. He definitely knows how to. When it's crunch time, he definitely knows how to win games.
Let him cook.
Yeah,
and DK
Wisconsin.
Yeah, so DK Metcalf fell off a little bit, but he's still. He could take a game over.
Yeah.
Game over. But yeah. I don't feel like the defense. Like the Packers defense is something that's I think their defense is vulnerable to, you know, to where it becomes a shootout. And once it's a shootout, anything can happen, you got one bad player, one thing bounces the wrong way and that changes things. You know, they're not, I don't feel like they're just lined up and they're going to win the game.
Yeah.
So on the AFC, who do you think is the Chiefs are the one seed, obviously. So who do you think is the, who you think is the closest that could beat them or could match with them in the AFC championship?
I still think Baltimore. I know the Chiefs already, beat them up in the regular season. I'm more afraid of Baltimore than I am Buffalo. Cause I think when we played Josh Allen, Tyrann Mathieu was fast enough to he knows the game enough as that kind of Roman safety to kind of really cause some trouble for
y'all played them on a COVID week though. I mean, not everybody was in that, they were all 100%. So I thought y'all caught them on a trap week. Don't look at me like that, because I really think you got them on a COVID week. When we played the Buccaneers on our COVID week and all our linemen weren't even there at practice, they 20 balled us. So I mean,
is that what we do now when people lose games? We talk about, give excuses about what they play.
When you're not there at practice, not getting the mental and physical reps, you're only on Zoom calls and watching film, can only do so much in a real physical game.
If I'm not going to take it from a high school kid, and I ain't going to take it from a college kid, you getting paid to do this, homeboy. You better show up and play. I don't want to hear nothing about it but no weekend, no COVID.
They was at home. They wasn't doing nothing. No, they barely got Josh Allen back for that game. Yeah, I mean, like I said, on a COVID week has definitely shown for any team in the NFL going to a
not the COVID Titans. Week. Not the Titans.
Not the Titans, but any other team has definitely showed COVID was a weakness. Definitely.
Don't buy them Jordans.
Because nobody's there at practice. Getting the mental and physical reps, you're not there. The coaches can't help. You're just at home watching film. You can't do nothing. All you can just be like, man, hopefully they do this. That's all I got.
But I also think that the Bills defense, the Chiefs, it don't matter COVID or not, the Chiefs was lighting that defense up. They were lighting them up.
That's a good point.
I'm telling you that you don't want to go into a shootout with Kansas City. I don't care if you got Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen, whatever. You're not going to win a shootout with KC. You got to stop Kansas City. You got to bring pressure, make it hard for Pat. And Pat was doing this. Okay, I'll throw it there now. Like, I mean, he was chilling. And Pat's been running for his life pretty much this whole season. And he was chilling against the Bills. And I just don't think that they have a defensive record. Like, they don't have anybody that can, like, really, like, wreck the game for Buffalo. Like Baltimore does. Like, I mean, Calais Campbell. I mean, Baltimore has a defense that they can get pressure without having to blitz. And then, I mean, you still got to count. I mean, even though Marcus Peters is all over the place, Marcus Peters is a ball hawk. And like they said, Pat throws two, three throws a game that should be picked off that gets dropped or something like that. And I don't think Peters drops. So I think, I know that like every time we played Baltimore, it's been like, you know, like Kansas City's come out on top and stuff like that. But I think Lamar Jackson's such a game, like he's such a dynamic player that like once he gets rolling, like that the thing about the Chiefs is that they never allowed him to get rolling. They hit him, they didn't allow him to get rolling, and then it made it to where he had to pass the ball. Like he couldn't do that thing. But if they keep it close and make it to where like he can kind of do what he wants to do the entire game, and J.K. Dobbins has been balling the last month or so, I'm scared. I'm not scared of him, but I feel like that's a team that I don't really want to see in the playoffs. I was kind of hoping that they would lose that last game and they wouldn't make the playoffs. Cause I feel like they're that kind of team that could sneak in. Everybody goes like, oh, they had a down year, and their down year is still like what, 11-5 or something like that. You know, like it's like, that's their down year, but they still are a talented team, and Harbaugh's a really good coach. And I think Harbaugh is going to learn from his mistakes. Cause I think when they played the Chiefs in the regular season, he tried to be too aggressive, going for like every fourth down and doing stuff. Then they got behind because they didn't convert on some of his kind of aggressive calls. I think he's going to be like, we can just play these guys kind of straight up and have a good game. Like, I don't have to be, you know, kind of go outside of my game plan to keep up with Kansas City.
Yeah.
What you think, Dodie? Who's your team?
Well, I agree with the Ravens. I like them. I think, you know, they built for the cold. They built for this time of the year. Tennessee, I really think they shown some vulnerability against Green Bay.
Yeah.
I thought if it was any team that he should have really ran – got a lot of good yards against was Green Bay, and he didn't.
Yeah. So
I really think Tennessee, but the Browns, no. I don't think they got enough.
I mean, they barely beat Mason Rudolph to get into the playoffs. It wasn't like they dominated. I mean, granted, all their wide receivers were out, but I'm just saying, like,
Pittsburgh.
My sleeper team. Before you say it.
Oh my gosh. They're pretenders. They're not even contenders, bro.
Hey, you talk about Philip Rivers shot putting Ben's barely holding on.
Yeah.
Hey. What was their record before they started with going on this little losing streak?
It was 11-0.
They was playing against JV.
They played three good teams in that 11-0 run. Now granted, they did beat those three good teams by barely maybe a touchdown or a field goal.
Who were the three good teams?
They beat the Ravens.
Right. They played the Ravens once with RG3, right?
Right. They played the Titans.
I'm doing anything.
No, okay. I'm saying you're not playing.
Tell me this. So if let's just say Patrick Mahomes catch COVID and can't play and Kansas City lose.
Right.
Chad Henne definitely ain't getting it done.
Right. But let's say Ben Roethlisberger catches COVID. They definitely not going to win. I mean, yeah, that's for every team.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what goes on. That game's still going to be played, right?
Maybe they push him back to the national championship. We'll see.
I don't want to hear nothing about COVID, who played who, with what, and nothing. You get paid to win the game.
No, I know. But what I'm saying, though, is that if you got the two teams squaring up full strength, Pittsburgh doesn't – they because they can't run the ball. They can't do anything. They can't do anything in the run at all. And honestly, they got what – I mean, they got like what, two defensive players that are – I think – I mean, the other thing too is that they had all – their whole defense was healthy, and they were playing again. Once they started playing against like the back end of their schedule, when they were playing against like the real good teams, they – I mean
– they just falling off.
You saw that they were very vulnerable.
I think you're going to see something totally different.
As soon as they lost to the Washington football team, that's when I knew. They're vulnerable, and here comes a nice little losing streak at the end of the season.
No, you already you're already in the playoffs. You know,
but they lost the number one seed. They had the lead, they had the tiebreaker, they had everything because we lost
to for 11 weeks straight.
Yeah, and then they lost that one seed. It wasn't like they were like, "Oh, we in and we chilling and see what happened." They needed
lost that one seed in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Hey, things happen.
We'll see.
I really think if it's
anything, I think Cleveland's actually gonna beat them.
Cleveland will beat them. My sleeper team. Hold on, what you guys say?
2 weeks in a row. You think Cleveland's gonna pull off a win 2 weeks in a row?
I don't know. I mean, with COVID and stuff, I mean, you know, I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, granted, Cleveland's coach has COVID right now. We'll see. But, I mean, I think Cleveland has enough on defense because I'm not scared of Pittsburgh's offense. And because of how well that Cleveland runs the ball, like, the thing is that everything, it all depends on how the game plays out. But if the game plays out to where they can run the ball and they don't need Baker to throw the ball 30 times, something like that, Cleveland could win that game because Pittsburgh's not going to outscore you by a lot. It's going to be, you know, like a 27-24 type of game, something like that. It's not going to be like where Pittsburgh is coming out and scoring like first five possessions to where it's like, all right, now we got to get Baker to throw the ball. It's going to be like a 17-10 type game where it's like, you know, you can still feed that ball to Chubb and Kareem. They break it, they do stuff and keep grinding and ticking away. And next thing you know, it's a tie ball game with one possession left. And that can go either way. I don't think Pittsburgh is built to like blow out a team, and those are the type of games that teams like Cleveland can stay in, and then could sneak in and win that game because they want it to be grimy and dirty and just like old school football where they want to hand the ball off, you know, 45 times and only throw the ball like 20 times. Everybody else is trying to throw the ball 30 times, 35 times. Cleveland's like, nah, we'll stick with 20 max. And hand that ball off to Chubb, and then when he gets tired, give it to Kareem. You know, like and if that happens, then that's the game that falls into Cleveland's hand. And I just don't think that Pittsburgh is just like set up to just be like, you know, Ben can just sling the ball all over the place and stuff like that. Now, if it was like, you know, like Kansas City or Green Bay or Tampa Bay or, you know, even like the Saints, where it's like you're gonna have to score like those teams are gonna get you probably about 30 points. I think Pittsburgh is going to get you about 24, and with that, Cleveland could hold their own against them. That's why I'm picking. If I had to pick, that's why I would pick Cleveland over Pittsburgh. That's my story.
Now, my sleeper, I think. Now the Titans have shown their weaknesses, but I still think the Titans are legit. Was this year two for AJ Brown? Way better receiver than he was when he was a rookie.
No, so, he was horrible this year compared to last year.
I think he played better. Yeah, he had his injuries, but when he came to play, he came to play. And when he was out, Corey Davis definitely stepped up and took the reins as the number one receiver for them. D. Henry has been who he is, has been all year.
He's the king.
He's the king for a reason. be a train wreck. So I think they'll go in there. They'll beat up Baltimore just like they did last year. Whoever they play next, I think they'll just keep it rolling. They are going to have their hands full with the Chiefs, but I still think the reason why the Titans didn't beat the Chiefs is because they did not feed Derrick Henry like they should have. Now, granted, when they didn't, they got behind. Then they were just kept. And the Titans are legit. Was this year two? They lost too much to come by. So I think I'm going to roll with the Titans. I think they got enough to do it. And granted, everybody's healthy. They still got a solid defense. So if they can get it rolling like they did last year, and I think they're a way better team now than they were when they had their nice little run going into the playoffs. So I'm going Tennessee.
So I'm gonna throw something out there to refute what you said, though. Two things. Right. Number one, their defense is going to allow if they got to the Chiefs, they would allow Kansas City to too many points. To where that's the reason why they couldn't keep feeding Derrick Henry, was because once they got down, then it was like we got to try to keep up, and they couldn't keep up. Two, the Titans allow for the biggest weakness on defense to become a strength for the Chiefs, which is Daniel Sorensen.
Yeah.
Daniel Sorensen is a horrible cover safety, but is an amazing hit ball, see ball safety. And when you got Derrick Henry, you make him one dimensional, and where all Sorensen has to do is just hit him, and he can stay on the field. Because if you got to worry about a back coming out of the backfield, or he has to like go and shift and guard the tight end, that's his weakness. And that's when you got to get him out of the game and put Thornhill in, who doesn't want to hit, but can cover a little bit better. But that's why the Titans lost, because literally Sorensen had like the best game ever, because literally all he had to do, that dude's running the ball, hit him. And that's all he wants to do. He's like he's horrible in coverage, but he's great going up against where he can just worry about just hitting the running back. And that allows him to stay on the field and just allows Honey Badger to just roam and just kind of do. So I mean, there's no disrespect to Derrick Henry. And I think Tannehill actually had a better year this year than he did last year.
Yeah, but, agree.
But I mean, I just think their defense doesn't allow them to dictate the game when they're playing against high octane offenses.
They do give up a lot of points, but they are. I think they're able to match that, not as much as where they were last year. But their defense does give up a lot of points, but they are able to match the same amount. So I mean,
Come out in the first two like drives, get Henry going, and take like 5-6 minutes off the clock every single drive, something like that, which they're capable of doing it. But if they leave their defense on the field multiple times, it's gonna be where they gotta catch up.
It's gonna be a long day.
Yeah.
Man, all right. Well, let's get into the final segment. A little debate that I've been waiting for. The greatest, not the most athletic D lineman in NFL of all time. Don't matter which decade, what year, what era. So, Dodie, I'm going to let you go first. Yeah. Oh, who wants to go first, Greg? I like to go last because, you know, I think mine's. You want to go last?
Yeah, we'll go last. You go ahead. All right,
you know what? I'll go first.
I've been waiting for this answer from you for a while.
Hey, let me go first, since my answer is probably going to be the worst answer, and then y'all
all right, you know what? I'll let you go
y'all
first.
Show. You guys are the stars of the show. So
all right,
I'm gonna throw out a couple. Okay.
All right.
Let's see what you got. I'm gonna go with the Minister of Defense. I'm gonna go with Reggie White, as one of my top ones. I know he was mostly a power dude, but I think he was able to, I mean, he was so versatile in his moves that, like you talked about, you know, like, hey, if somebody's just bull rushing you, you do this. But he was so quick to where when people tried to chop him, he was able to get over him. Like, there were so many times, like when you go back and look at film of him and footage, like I said, growing up, I was a Packers fan, so I saw him with the Packers. But then as I got a little bit older and I went back and looked at himself with the Eagles, and he was just unstoppable with the Eagles. But even with the Packers, he was still quick enough to like not get chipped, to get to the quarterback, going against a lot of different stuff. So I think he's kind of seen as just like a big brute, like big man, but he was fast. And then I'm going to throw out, I mean, I got to go with J.J. Watt. I mean, as another athlete, like, I mean, he just – like, he's smart enough to know. I mean, you know, the whole J.J. Swat thing, that's because he's athletic enough to be able to read it and not just be, like, one-track minded and know that, like, swatting the ball, getting your hand in the pass lane is just as important as getting to the quarterback and, you know, in those third downs and different things like that. And I think his athleticism makes it to where, especially when he was in his prime, his athleticism made it to where like you could not stop, you literally could not stop him. Like you could, even if you go like, all right, I'm back and he can't get to the quarterback, he's still making plays even if he's not getting to the quarterback. So I go those two as my top, like just like D-line, like, you know, you can't really stop them. And it's not just because you can't stop them because they're too powerful, but like whatever you try to throw at them, they're still able to kind of maneuver and get to what, where they want to go. Those are my two. I feel like I got a little bit of a promo for Cody, so like I'm just going, I'm going to do this for the rest of the game. I'm done. I'm done.
Hey, because it really ain't no debate. You threw out who I think is the greatest of all time. Rich. Growing up seeing him like just grab another big grown man and kind of like just move, dude. You know, with that club. just, man, you wasting your time. It was just incredible, but that's not who I think is the most athletic.
All right.
Athletic. All right, so I'm going to go with mine. Probably going to laugh at you. Might be like, oh, okay. Probably I'm going to go with my boy, Vince Wilfork. That man could move. He could hit. He could pick a ball. He could run the ball. He could throw the ball. He could kick your field goal. He could make the water for you. It don't matter. That big boy is athletic. There's film for it. Hands down,
Would you move Wilford out on the edge and have him play the end?
Yeah.
No, you
play in.
No.
He can play nose. It does not matter. That boy is a truck. You can stop him, but you definitely gonna feel him.
I think he's and I'm a Vince Wilfork fan. Trust me, don't get me wrong. I love Mr. Vince.
Even for his weight, he is a big dude.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
He can move. He is athletic.
Yeah, he is athletic. There's no doubt about that. And I think he's a great interior guy. But I don't see him playing the edge.
So yes, yeah, I put him and Warren Sapp kind of in the same category.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Warren Sapp is going to stop you. Like, I mean, you're going to have to account for him in the middle, but if you get him outside of that, I can't see Vince Wilfork coming off the edge.
Uh-huh. Now,
I'll tell you one thing. A running back wouldn't try to chip him. I guarantee that.
Yeah,
I do know
right.
That.
That's right. That's
if he does take it off the edge, hey.
Hey, and don't cut him.
Yeah. As don't they say, him. That's a business decision. I'm not taking that hit. I'm good.
Yeah.
This is a serviceable. That's a serviceable one. I wouldn't have thought about it, but that's a serviceable one.
Yeah. Now, what you got, Dodie? What you got?
Notice what both of y'all said. Reggie White got what? Size and height. Something that most folks first thing they look at when they look at a D lineman is they're looking at what? Size and height.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You talked about the big man in the middle. He was a huge guy in the middle. Well, a lot of folks look. What if you don't have the size or the speed? I mean, you got the speed, but you don't have the size, you don't have the height. Nobody wanted you.
I already know who you're going with.
Came up and was one of the best all time at your position, one of the most athletic linemen. Had the most heart, had the hardest motor, and that's my guy, John Randall. John Randall, one of the most athletic D linemen, because you didn't have. He didn't have height, but you had to find this guy on every single play. You had to block him. You had to sometimes double team him because he was small, but he was one of the most feared people on the field when he was playing. And you could hold him in. He was an interior lineman, and he was an outside, I mean, you know what I'm saying, on the edge rusher. So, I mean, he could play every position, and he done proved it. So, the most athletic D lineman, John Randall.
I mean, I will say, like I said, watching a lot of Packers game growing up, John Randall was always in the backfield.
Yep.
He was always around the ball. I mean, I definitely feel like he's underrated, like in regards to like where his place is in history. Where do you guys think of somebody like a Bruce Smith?
I think he's one of the greatest D ends of all time, but I don't think you can move him down inside.
Yeah.
That's what gets me. If you're talking about athletic, can you play every single position on the football field? I mean, not on the football field, but on the D-line.
On the line.
Yeah.
So what do you think about Aaron Donald then? Because I throw Aaron Donald out there as just like, it don't matter where you put him. He's, you know, I just feel like Aaron Donald can be kind of like you can double team him and kind of get him out of the game a little bit. Whereas like I think somebody like a Reggie White or a, you know, like a JJ Watt or even a, you know, like you said, a John Randall, like you can't, like, no matter what you throw at them, they're going to be able to still like impact the game. There's been games where Donald's been quiet, but he's been quiet because they put two dudes on him and somebody else is eating because he's taking up all that attention. And that's still being very serviceable to the team, but he can't, like, you know, get through. That's the same thing I feel about Chris Jones. I'm like, Chris Jones is really good one-on-one, but if you throw two guys on him, he's not going to do enough to where he like allows other people to kind of take over. You know, like I feel like Aaron Donald does that. Like if you put two guys on him, he's going to make you think about maybe putting three guys on him, but that's going to open up stuff for everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I put him as an honorable mention for me.
Yeah. Aaron is one of the guys who I was debating myself with, you know, do I want to say him? But then when I started thinking about it, I'm an old school guy. The new school game gives you a lot of opportunities to sit back and just rush the quarterback with all the spread offenses that most people are in gunning. But John Randall played in an era to where it was still a lot of up on the center, a lot of steel, you know, shotgun, and he could play everywhere. To where Aaron Donald, he's still young. I haven't seen him do it over a long enough extended period of time to really say all-time great, you know.
Yeah.
One of the most all-time great. I think he's still too young to be put in that debate.
I think he's an all-time great, but that's just me. But because I think if you – I mean, he's what, won two, like, back-to-back defensive player – or he won two, like, defensive player of the year. Yeah, I mean, what do you guys think about, like, a Jason Taylor? I feel like Jason Taylor was somebody we forgot about who was an athlete. Dude was all over the place.
I mean, he was good.
He didn't play for Miami, and nobody thought about Miami.
I give Jason Taylor credit.
I give him his credit, but I don't think he's
because of what? Because of what? Yeah, Joy is she's nice.
when you talk about him, I give him credit for being her sister, not her being his brother. I said that the wrong way, Dylan.
What do you guys think about Joey Bosa? Do you think later on in his career,
I take TJ Watt over Bosa. Yeah. And I take his brother. I take Nick Bosa over Joey.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
You really think that I think Joey's better than Nick. I think
Nick is faster and can just like, and maybe it's just the style of play that San Francisco played, but it was just like Nick just seemed like he was just always about to hit the quarterback. Like it was like in the Super Bowl, it was like he was always like either hitting Patrick Mahomes or like about to hit him. Like it was like he was always like right there. And I mean, I know this year he got hurt, but Joey Bosa, I feel like Joey Bosa is like the Sammy Watkins of the defense. He gonna miss four games every year.
Yeah.
At least. And he's good, but
he's still dominant. I mean, when he plays, he's dominant. So I mean,
yeah, but
it's still early in his career. I mean, I give him a couple more years, maybe he'll develop a little bit better.
But since we're talking about this, I gotta throw two in. That we ain't said, but they some of the best interior and exterior. Leon Lett and Charles Haley.
See, I'll throw Charles Haley on there before Leon Lett. Leon Lett was a beast. Charles Haley was all over the field, though. Like, if you talk about, I feel like Leon Lett was mostly a D tackle.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, tackle. I feel like Charles Haley was like, you could move him a lot more. So if we talk, if you're talking about like athlete by your criteria that you talked about, I feel like Charles Haley was more of that than Leon Lett was.
Yeah. But Leon Lett, he was a very athletic D lineman.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what Jimmy had him doing playing interior, he was a two gap. So you don't want him kind of going everywhere.
Right.
You got to make sure he control, you know what I'm saying, his two gaps. But, man, some of the things that you see this guy do on film, man, he was pretty athletic.
I'm going to go back and I'm going to take a guy, you know, for you, Bubba, Howie Long. He was also that dude.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he was that dude. Yeah,
he was that dude back in the day. He was that dude back in the day.
Interior on the end.
He was that dude.
He was that dude.
I mean,
he got one ring. He definitely still dominated in the 90s. So, I mean, He's still that dude.
I don't think he's up there. Dude. He's not up there with the other guys that we were talking about in regard of athleticism, but he's still
considered one of the greats. He definitely not top 10, but he's still considered.
They didn't have nobody else to put in the Hall of Fame that year. He went in.
Hey, he still got in, right? He still got a ring, right?
He knows a lot of sports writers.
Hey, he still got in. It don't matter.
Okay, man.
Oh man, you guys got anything else you guys want?
I was gonna say I had to do that for you, Bubba. I throw that out there.
Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah. I was gonna say maybe Khalil Mack, but he hasn't really been that dominant since he went to Chicago. So I mean, I ain't gonna throw him out there like that.
Nah.
He was definitely dominant when he was with the Raiders, but ever since he got traded to Chicago, he's not the same guy he was.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You guys got anybody else or any last?
I can't think of anybody else. I can't think of anybody else for the D line. I think we exhausted the athletic D lines.
Yeah, I think it's some more we probably missed. You know, we probably missed some more guys.
Hey, old school Richard Dent was a beast on the D line, or was he a linebacker? I think he was outside. I can't remember if he. Like I said, I get a little like confused between like the outside linebacker and the defensive end because so many of those schemes they have them on the line, you know. Neil Smith back in the day for the Chiefs, going on the opposite side of Derek Thomas, he was. I mean, he wasn't like elite, but he was also another very serviceable DN. But yeah,
I don't know. All right, well, you guys got any final thoughts before we close this thing out?
Nah.
Hey, don't sleep on Steph Curry for MVP this year in the NBA. That's all I'm saying. Throwing it out there.
So early. I don't know why they started their season so early.
They started late. They started late. I mean, normally season starts in October.
They had that whole bubble. Took up the whole summer. So, I mean, and then starting back so quick, I figured, they would wait a little bit, maybe start later on. But, I mean, they only had, it was only, 60 days off. So, I mean.
I mean, but they had to do that for next season, though. Because that way, this season will end the time that it's supposed to. And then they can kind of reset. If they push it back, any further, this season, then it would throw the things off for two more seasons.
Yeah, that's true. But I guess that makes sense,
But it is kind of hard. It's hard, to get into the basketball mode right now, especially with the playoff. What do y'all think about this format, though? Y'all think the NFL will stick with this, one seed? I think it made it very competitive all year long versus, because if you think about it, the Bills caught – you think about the Steelers falling off. They went from the one seed to the three seed. Bills caught them, I think normally when you have the two seeds – the two seeds get the bye. I think this having this one seed get the bye is kind of it definitely, as a Chiefs fan, halfway through the year made it all right, we gotta get some work done to get that one seed. But I like this new format a little bit.
Let's see, they'll keep it. I still kind of like the idea of maybe just going to eight and then just keeping it like that.
Yeah,
because I mean, AFC, they had one team that went 10-6. Not getting the playoffs. NFC was a little bit different. That was a little weaker in record wise. But I think eight teams is fair. Just like college football, I think they should go to eight teams.
You saying eight teams? You saying eight teams total?
Yeah.
So all of the NFL?
Yeah, eight from the AFC, eight from the NFC.
Oh, okay, like that. Okay.
Yeah. So you still have your one and two, but then you still got everybody else playing.
I don't know. Because to me, and this is, Dodie might agree with me on this. It's just like the coach in me. Everybody had the same opportunity to make it, though. So if you say it's only seven, true. Everybody had the opportunity to make it. The Dolphins could have won some games that they lost to get, the Ravens were in a free fall and they did what they needed to do to turn their season around to make it. The Steelers did what they needed to at the beginning of the year to get, so I think no matter what the number is, it's going to always be somebody that gets left out or gets screwed over or whatever. But I kind of like the where you have where you're just rewarding the top team versus like the top two. I think it made it a little bit, you know, and especially this year with Clyde, you know, getting hurt, and you know, we kind of our offensive line's banged up. Like getting that one seed was like an accomplishment because like we definitely needed that extra bye to kind of get some guys healthy. And other teams don't get that. So, I think it made some teams work a lot harder versus, like, if you know you're not going to be able to, like, shuffle from, like, the fourth, fifth, sixth seed, you just kind of coast. I think it made it competitive all year.
Yeah.
I think eight teams adding an extra week, they'll have to add an extra week.
Yeah, well, they're going to add the extra – it's going to be actually a full week 17, but it'll really be – so they're going to add an extra game. So, I mean,
yeah, but it's one thing to add an extra game during the regular season, but it's another game to add it's another thing to add another week during the playoffs.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know, when that kind of gets kind of tedious with the playoffs, you know? And I like the new one. I mean, the top team get the bye format, you know, make the second team work. You know, it makes that first seed just that more valuable. But I really think Pittsburgh is in a perfect situation, even though Ben's not playing. I really think if they can get by Cleveland, they're going to be in a good situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about the playoffs. Any team can get hot, get rolling.
Really?
I mean, nobody thought Tennessee was going to make it to the AFC Championship game last year. Any team can, because like they say, any given Sunday, anything can happen. I think... You know, I mean, you could see Cleveland making it to the AFC Championship. Like, I mean, it could just – I mean, never mind. They would have to beat the Chiefs the next week. Never mind.
That's like the Raiders.
Our time
will come. It just might be a little bit. I'm waiting just like the Chiefs been waiting for so long after so many failures. They finally had some good year success. So, you know, I'll wait. Just like you've been waiting, Doty. You've been waiting since '97
for your team. Yeah, the Raiders haven't made the Super. They haven't won a Super Bowl since you've been alive.
That's right. That's true.
You have been waiting.
I've only seen one playoff game, and my quarterback wasn't in it. So I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
Hey, I gotta tell y'all a quick story, real quick. So you know, like I can only talk smack because I was in your position until last year. So so I know the pain. So you know, my whole life, Chiefs have found ways to break my heart in the playoffs. Like just different ways. I'm like, how does this even happen? Like every single time. My little last year for Christmas, my wife's family was here in KC, so we went to the Chargers game, and you know, they win the game, and then that's when Miami beat New England, and we got the bye. It was crazy. My little nephew was there, and he had never been to a football game. And they're from New England. My in-laws are from New England. So they're like, my brother-in-law is like huge Patriots fan. My wife thinks she's a Patriots fan, but doesn't know anybody on the Patriots. But so he's like, I'm a Chiefs fan. He's like, I'm a Chief. I'm like, yeah, it was crazy. So his family's like, no, you a Patriots fan. He's like, no, I'm a Chiefs fan. This dude, ever since he's been a Chiefs fan, watched him make the three best comebacks in playoff history and win the Super Bowl and then go like 14-2. I'm like, man, all they did is break my heart my entire life until I was 35 years old. You've been watching them for 3 weeks and they win the Super Bowl. He's like, I love this. I'm like, man, you don't even know. But yeah. I'll take it.
You keep being
a fan. If you being a fan is what tipped him over the edge, I'll take it. But I say, man, this dude don't even know pain.
What's his name?
His name is Malachi.
I need to send Malachi some stuff, man.
Man, we ain't gonna make him no Cowboys fan.
Nobody wants to be a Cowgirls fan.
He's like, what's this star for? Like, <what's> this? America's team. I thought that was the Patriots. Like, I thought that was the Chiefs. Like, hey, Cowboys ain't been America's team since Troy started calling the games in the booth.
Yeah, we talking to Troy about that. We're gonna talk about all these little comments. But he's telling the truth though.
I know. So, Troy, man, Troy's a sly dude. He be throwing this stuff under. He be just throwing stuff in there, be like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Hey, you got to get him and Michael Irvin in the same place talking about the Cowboys. Could you imagine all the sweat off of Michael Irvin screaming at Troy Aikman? Just loud for no reason. No, that's good.
Made for TV.
Yeah, always. The Cowboys are always going to have drama. It don't matter. They could go 16-0. It's going to be dramatic. Always.
Hey, the world's number one Number one drama. I mean, reality show.
Yep.
That was locker room.
Definitely nobody's watching it.
Hey, Jerry knows how to get a product though, to make a product. Because I think he orchestrates some of that stuff just to keep it rolling.
Yeah, as long as that logo is the number one selling logo in the world, he ain't tripping.
No, still, not at all.
It's not even the number one selling logo in the world.
I think it is.
It's not?
I don't think it is.
It's either them or the Yankees. It's either...
Hey, if it is, you got to put one on your other shoulder.
I ain't putting nothing on my other shoulder. I'm adding maybe is maybe a little Super Bowl right here. You feel me? Maybe a little Super Bowl something right there.
Oh, I didn't know that was an R or an F. I thought it said faders at first.
Oh, get out of here. You know what it is.
They start like this and then they just fade out.
Hey, it happens, man. It happens. Our success is coming, man.
Hey, you know what? You know what the slogan for Gruden should be? It should be fade to black. Because every year they start off hot. You're like, all right, Gruden is back. And then they'd be like,
I don't say that. I just say we're back. Because, you know, we was looking like, all right, it's the real deal now. Hey, we beat y'all. Hey, it was happy. Happy we beat y'all. But, you know, it's on the next year for me.
Don't drive a bus around the stadium.
Hey. Hey, and honestly, though, I hope they give the MVP to Rodgers, because I don't think there's anybody that plays better with the chip on their shoulder than Pat. Any little slight, man, he's like that Jordan meme, and I took that personally. Like every little slight. So I hope they all the stuff they've been saying over the last couple of weeks. They talk about Josh Allen might have overtaken Pat Mahomes. Keep saying it, because that dude's taking a mental note. Be like, okay, like I'm ready. He's probably a psychopath like Jordan, gonna make up a story just to make himself mad to play.
Yeah. Hey, that's how we do it in high school up here, yep. Man. I go get into that, but man, come to East Texas and see some of this bulletin board material. Coach, who said this? Don't worry about it. This is what they said.
Yep. Okay. All right. So yeah. I hope they give it to Rodgers. I hope they vote him third or fourth in the MVP, just so he'd be like, okay, like let's go, because he's gonna go on a tear.
Yeah.
So. Well, cool. All
right, you guys got any final thoughts before we for real close this thing out now?
No, I'm good. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
Yeah, appreciate you coming on, man.
Anytime.
Yeah.
Come on here and educate Bubba, man, on some sports topics.
Oh, man. Nah, hey, we'll definitely have you back on. We'll definitely have you back on when we'll really have March Madness this year, unlike last year. That was our plan, but, you know, COVID happened, so, you know.
Yep. But well, once the NFL stuff is over, I'll pay more attention to basketball, because I honestly just – the way the Chiefs have been playing, stuff like that, I've been so focused on the NFL. I'm like, oh, I forgot KU played today. Like, I've missed probably like two games.
Yeah, just, same
I'm like,
here.
Oh, dang, because I'm focusing so much on football. But yeah, I'll definitely anytime you guys want to have me on, just let me know. I'll make some time and make it happen.
Oh, we're gonna have you back on when Baylor beat Kansas.
Hey, let's do it. I accept any conversation. I don't shy away from it. I don't care. Cool.
Oh, cool, man. Well, thank you for being on.
Absolutely. Thanks,
always
guys.
Always good talking to you.
Same.
You know, everybody watching, hey, tune in every week. Make sure you like, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications. We're still on Anchor, Spotify, whatnot, but you already know what it is. Your boy, Bubba.
Let's do it.
Boy, Greg Bugman. All right. Peace.
Peace.